God, I just fell in love with it.
Thanks so much, Jay.
Blew my mind. And it worked. I wanted to buy my thing.
Jay is, I would say, the Yoda of sales calls, man.
Just talking to Jay, he was so good at just taking what it is, seeing the opportunity and the value and the real reason we are making it.
Talk to Jay, because he got it. He can definitely help you out.
Talk to Jay. You're going to get a lot. You're going to gain a lot.
I would absolutely recommend him for any position that you have.
Jay's definitely the guy.
Give him the chance. Give him the opportunity. You won't regret it.
He's good at what he does. So I highly recommend him. And I would book him before he is fully booked out.
Welcome everyone to the Sales Ninja Show podcast. I am super excited today on Tuesday, May the 7th, 2024, to be able to share with you my next guest. Eric Forner was once a struggling construction worker with alcohol addiction and $40K in debt. He transformed his life, and within 2 years of leaving prison, can you guys imagine that? This guy went to prison and then became a highly profitable, high-ticket digital marketing coach. He generated over $1.5 million online in just 22 months. And helped over 900 people find similar success. Eric's expertise spans from various areas, including the high-ticket affiliate marketing space, email marketing, high-ticket closing, and master of platforms like TikTok, which we're gonna dive into a little bit here, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. He's an expert in client targeting, branding, and public speaking, offering aspiring entrepreneurs invaluable insights through strategies like the 5-Day Challenge, which I just spoke to him earlier today, and was blown away at how much of not an expert, but a master he is. So definitely going to dive into that as well with webinars and a roadmap to success. And we have a free gift if you stay until the end called the GOAT Method. And he just got recognition from the TikTok World Summit and Leadership Awards. Eric is revolutionizing the online business. So we're going to give you an intro and welcome him to the stage. Here we go. Okay, welcome Eric to the Sales Ninja Show podcast. How are you doing, brother?
Doing well, my friend. How are you doing this lovely Tuesday afternoon?
Doing very, very well. So I want to dive right in because I know we've got a lot of things to, you know, dig deep into these gold nuggets or diamonds in the rough, if you will. Let's go back, if you don't mind, and forgive me if I'm diving right in because I'm excited for this episode and want to hear your story, want to hear your journey as an entrepreneur, and want to also hear how you went from prison to profit. So you had alcohol addiction, a struggling construction worker. How does someone with that kind of life circumstance and $40,000 in debt transform his life, your life?
Yeah, it's a kind of a crazy story. You know, when I tell people where I've been before, they're like, no way, nobody comes out of that kind of scenario or situation. But at the end of the day, I wanted it really bad, right? I wanted something different. And it pretty much my life started in Las Vegas, the city of sin. I was born and raised there, lived there till I was 22 years old, 21 actually. And just, you know, I was on the other side of the law all the time. I was trying to figure out how to make ends meet, being that my dad's a blue collar worker. My stepmom, they didn't get along. I just wanted to be out of the household. So I was constantly just running the streets and doing my thing. And I didn't really think I had too much of a future, being like the only white kid in a Hispanic predominant neighborhood. You know, I was in a highly gang populated area in Vegas, right? And, you know, I had my battles growing up. I ended up becoming friends with a lot of individuals I fought with as I was growing up. But, and yeah, it was nuts. Being in Vegas, there's only one other kid in the neighborhood that was actually, you know, I'm not being racial whatsoever, but we're the only like white family, right? It was me and another guy and his family. And it was just pretty much Hispanics. And we got the short end of the stick a lot of the times. I learned how to speak Spanish almost fluently during that process. So it kind of got me out of trouble, but for the most part, man, it all started in Vegas. And that's kind of like where, you know, my trouble began, and it kind of just consistently progressed after that, all the way up till I, you know, got my first DUI, which was in Arizona. I received two DUIs in 1 month, and that's kind of like where all my trouble really started. Yeah. You know, the second DUI in Arizona.
One in month.
In prison. Yeah, two in 1 month. The first time I was driving on the left-hand side of center. So I was driving on the wrong side of the street, right?
Yikes.
And then the next one, they were waiting at the bar and they were just kind of getting people as they left the bar. And yeah, I was close enough to get two in 1 month. You know, I'm not sure if that's a record, but it sure was for me.
Usually they have those speed traps. They had an alcohol trap for you waiting at the bar.
Yeah. Yeah. For many of us, I think it was, you know, Arizona was a kind of a rough place too as well. But at the end of the day, the only thing I knew was how to work construction and pretty much drink alcohol.
So, I mean, I know this is a sensitive topic. And for those of you who are listening who have struggled, are struggling, or who have come out of this struggle, alcohol addiction is not something to be taken lightly. I mean, how do you go from being a struggling construction worker, $40,000 in debt, an alcoholic, to coming out of addiction? I know that's a simplistic question, but, you know, that's not something that I hear often in terms of breaking addiction or coming out of addiction. And not only that, but coming on top over as an overcomer. Like, what steps, if you don't mind, for the audience and for people watching the podcast or listening to the replay, what steps did you take that can help other people who are listening?
Yeah, for sure. So it didn't happen overnight. Like, I just didn't become an alcoholic and then go to prison and then all of a sudden become better. I'm 44 now, and I've been to prison five times with 60.
What?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, sir. Right. In Idaho, Nevada, Arizona, Montana, are the four states I've been to prison in and currently reside in Montana. And so it wasn't like I fell on my face one time and I was like, okay, I got to figure this out. I kept falling on my face over and over and over and over.
Wow.
And so how I became to, you know, become sober and actually build a legacy for myself and my family was I was just tired of going down the wrong side of the tracks, right? I was tired of falling on my face.
Literally.
Literally. And I knew I was meant for more. I was really good at construction, reading blueprints. I was not very good in school. And so I didn't think I had a space online. And so how it come to be was my last time in prison, it was 2018. I've been out of prison since then, or 2019, mm-hmm. excuse me, but I went to prison 2018. And I was actually in a church service. Some missionaries come to see me. They were Christian missionaries, right? They come to me and they're like, hey, your wife sent us. And it was just kind of out of the blue. I didn't go to church. I didn't do none of that stuff. Anyways, they came to see me. I kept visiting with them. I ended up getting baptized in prison or in jail.
What? Jail?
In jail, I got baptized with a cup of water. And
wow. With a cup of water. It's like a sprinkle.
In the room of the little county jail where I'm at. So it kind of like all started to transform from there. I became sober. I had a better head on my shoulders. I was like, you know what? I'm facing a lot of time in Idaho because I was currently on an interstate compact and they filed a persistent violator on me last time I was in prison. Yeah. Not this time, but 24, and that's 15 years. Yeah. So I top out my prison sentence. I'm still on parole right now.
What?
A seven-figure business. For real? I just came from my PO office, right? I don't know, 10 minutes before I came to see you.
That was
right?
Your appointment?
That was my appointment. I couldn't miss. So, but yeah, I built a seven-figure business while on parole. And I come to realize, you know, this last time in, I was, you know, 40, I think I was 40 years old or 39. I'm 44 now, but I'm like, something has to change. Something has to change. And when I moved back or moved home, it was actually to a small town called Libby, Montana, is where I currently live. And there's 2,500 people inside the town. So there's two stoplights.
Oh, small town.
Yeah. Really small town. And so the only thing I'd done or knew was construction. And so I was like, you know, I got to figure something out. So I was beat up. I was working 60 plus hour shifts every single week. At this time, I was working for a lineman crew and we were hanging fiber optic and doing underground utilities. And I was putting in 60 to 80 hours per week. And I sat in my recliner and I was kicking off my boots, just wanted to relax. And you know how we kind of doze off and we just kind of space out and get on social media? Well, that's exactly what I'd done. I came across an ad for a $7 15-day course. And I was like, this is it. This is all I ever needed. This is going to be my way out. Well, when I jumped in to that course, it was a lot of, I guess, loose ends, right? I wasn't sure on exactly how to do it step by step. Even though it was a 15-day training, I couldn't afford to invest inside the $2,500 upsell. So that's when I went down the rabbit hole of Google and YouTube. I was trying to, you know, figure out how to build a house, basically going to YouTube. And I should have been going to YouTube to figure out how to put a light socket in. anyways, I went down this rabbit hole for about 6 months, and me and my wife, we were at each other's throats pretty much, because I was spending all my time on this business that was not having any success. And I went through that, you know, roller coaster of you know, Google and YouTube. And then my wife's like finally saying, hey, you got to figure something out, Eric. You know, there's a chance that we're not going to be together because of just the lack of time you're spending with me and just all focused on this. Like, you traded one addiction to the next. And, you know, I had an eye opener kind of thing. So that's when I reached out to my first mentor, Brad, and everything has changed since then. I did not buy the blueprints. My wife got a loan from PayPal. I was $40,000 in debt, working construction. She was a housekeeper for 10 years, making $10 an hour. And she was not in no debt. Yeah, she was not in no debt, but she, you know, she just didn't have the best credit. So she actually got qualified for a loan of $3,500. And that's when I invested in my very first mentor. And then within 20 days, I made $19,000 in my business, and I haven't looked back.
You made $19,000 in 20 days?
No, it was 20 days exactly. It was $19,558.72.
Wow. And what were you selling?
At that time, it was Legendary Marketer, and you could see the award behind me. I made $40,000 with them in 4 months. But the problem I was seeing, Jay, was everybody that I signed up for Legendary, and I was going live on TikTok is pretty much how it all unfolded. I would go live on TikTok. I would answer questions, relate, tell my story, be authentic. And what I realized was all these individuals that I was signing up for the $2,500 blueprints, the problem was they were coming back to me for help because they would ask a question in the Facebook group, and 3 days later it might got answered. And it was like I was the go-to guy since I sold it to them. I felt responsible. I felt like an imposter, a counterfeit, because they were not learning the same thing that I learned from my mentor. And that was personal branding, you know, really hone in on your avatar, not just the demographics, but the psychographics and the problems and pain points and desired outcomes. I didn't learn this from that other course, but my mentor taught me this. So as time started rolling on, I basically was just tired of, you know, feeling like an imposter, a counterfeit. They weren't getting or receiving the same information that I was receiving. And that's when my mentor sat me down and said, we're going to create a method. And that method is called the GOAT method. And since then, it's brought in, you know, quite a bit of money, and I haven't really looked back from that point.
Wow. So here you have it. Eric Foreigner, CEO of Passive Income Blueprints, who went from prison to profit, 5-time prison sentence, 6 DUIs, residing in Montana, kept falling on his face over and over. Usually they say 3 strikes, you're out. I mean, you've got like 11 counts against you. You met God in jail, got baptized with a cup of water in county jail, and built a 7-figure business while on parole, still on parole, and just came from your parole appointment literally to get onto this Sales Ninja Show podcast. That is absolutely insane, brother.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride, needless to say. And my wife's still with me, so that's a plus.
Amazing, yeah, for sure. Amazing. So what kind of mindset? You know, this is a Sales Ninja Show podcast, and I teach a lot about mindset because I find a lot of people who are either starting, struggling, or even successful, but still trying to figure out how to scale, they all struggle with mindset. And you've cracked some sort of code where from an addiction, from alcoholic addiction, from being in prison, you know, 5 times, having 6 DUIs, you know, in multiple states, being in and out of jail, you know, about to lose your marriage. What kind of mindset, you know, shifts did you have to take? What kind of practical, tangible, you know, pragmatic, you know, advice can you give to people who are listening right now?
Yeah, most definitely. So I think my mindset shift did start when I was in county jails. Like, I'm tired of this. I've had enough. And since I was in a different state from where I got arrested initially, I was on an interstate compact kind of thing. So I was facing that time going back to Idaho, and I had to top out my time in 2029 because they told me if you messed up again, we're going to keep you. Well, what happened was the pandemic happened, and I was praying for, you know, a way out. I was praying every day in jail, like my prison sentence was almost up in Montana. All of a sudden COVID happened, and then they stopped transport all over the United States. So now since I was in Montana, my time was coming to get out. And Idaho couldn't come get me, and Montana couldn't transfer me. Then they told me that I had to get released on parole in Montana. So COVID almost saved my life in a sense, right? So I've seen that I had this new awakening, this new opportunity. And while in prison, I was really working on, you know, you said mindset, but that was my daily schedule, my routine. And what I'd done every single day It helped mold me into like what I become now. And that was, you know, waking up a little bit earlier, reading, you know, 10 or 15 pages of a book, doing positive affirmations. I started taking cold showers and just stuff to put myself to that limit of like very uncomfortable. But I've noticed when I put myself in those uncomfortable positions and push through, I always triumph at the end of like having some kind of success. It doesn't matter if it's working out or for, you know, now it's being off, being out of prison now for almost 5 years and still on parole. So the mindset shift truly started when I felt like I had no other escape or no other route to take and to better my life. I was not wanting to go back to construction because I knew if I did that, then I was going to be surrounded by the individuals that, you know, I hung around with before. And construction comes with debt, usually addiction or something, right? If you're a construction worker, not everyone's like that as a construction worker, but being a miner, that's all we did was we drank, woke up with the shakes, drank enough to get rid of the shakes and go to work for 12 hours or up to 14 and then get off, sleep for a few and do it all over again.
And how the heck do you function like that?
I tell you what, I would only function for 3 years at a time until I get arrested again. Right. So about every 3 years, because the recidivism rate, right, reoffending as an average of 3 years. And so I would usually screw up before the 3 year period of time.
You were right in that average.
Yeah, 100%. 2 to 3 years, I was going back. I was falling on my face again. And I think that's what really woke me up, you know, is these trials and tribulations that I've been through. I just look back on it, you know, and just, I don't know, like something that there's something that clicked in my head one day. And I can't really pinpoint exactly what it was, but I was truly tired of what I was doing before. I was just exhausted. And so when I came to the point of like, okay, there's a cross in the road, either do construction and let's hope that you don't start drinking again, all nuts, all crazy like, or let's find another opportunity. And I took the road of the new opportunity, and truly like that 15-day challenge or that training is what really kickstarted it for me. But my mindset really extends from waking up early, right? Having a schedule, having a routine, and then always pinpointing my why. I build a vision board or a wealth wall. And, you know, I try to manifest and try to be that person is, you know, that's always chasing for that next, I guess you could say, opportunity to help somebody. And that's kind of like, you know, where it was all at. But the mindset shift started with my daily routine and staying consistent to something I wasn't used to normally doing.
I love the wealth wall, which is, you know, other people know as a vision board, which is attached to your why. Do you mind me asking what your wealth wall is? What does it look like? What does it sound like?
So it's right here. And so this is a part of it. And so basically—
Is that a collage?
Yeah, it's like a collage of everything. So what I did was I took all the things I desired. That was like all the things I didn't have when I was a kid, you know, dirt bikes and stuff like that and a family and all these different crazy things. And what I did was I signed my name on the back of them and then dated it and then stuck it on my
wall. Wow. I love that.
Yeah. So I was holding myself accountable. Right. And that's the only thing we have to our name is like, you know, our signature and who we are and what we say. So I created that wealth wall. I created one, I tore it up because I got frustrated one day and I tore up I was done with it. I said, but I created another one. And anyways, I've completed all those objectives on that wealth wall
you have?
So far, except for going out of the country, right? And
what do you mean?
I can't go out yet.
Are you serious? Because of parole?
Because of parole. So I can't leave out of the country yet while on parole. So the only thing I haven't done was go to the Belize and go to these other places that are on my wealth wall. But as far as everything else, I've overcome and we're received.
How long till you can get out of the country?
So actually I just got the paperwork the other day. I can file for early release since I've been on parole almost close to 5 years now, getting close to it.
Wow.
I'm able to submit for early release and they will look over it and, you know, make that judgment. But basically 2029 is when I get off parole on paper.
Wow.
I have the opportunity to get off now though.
Okay. Amazing. And how long did it take you to achieve your wealth wall? It looks like you have a whole slew of things. I don't know if it's like
about 3 years. Items.
Okay. And can you just share some of the items that you desire that you didn't have as a kid? I know some of them was a motorbike. Do you have
dirt bikes and the truck, the black Ford truck that we have now. Going to the ClickFunnels event was on my wealth wall. Having my son back in my life, that was on my wealth wall.
Oh, really?
Up there.
Wow.
Yeah. He came out of a bad situation too with his mom, and you know, I had to I couldn't rescue him before, but now I'm able to. So there's just several things like that, going on different trips and vacations. I've never been on a vacation before up until like four years ago. So, you know, there's all those little different things on there, and then helping others. And, you know, all these different things are on my wealth wall. Mostly it's family, and then, but materialistic stuff, the cars, got it. The dirt bikes, got it. I still live in the same house that we own. Haven't upgraded from that yet. No need to. But the office that I'm currently in, I built this. So that was on my wealth wall to have my own office. And so this little studio thing that I'm sitting in, I completely built myself. And so that's kind of like where we're at with everything. But, you know, having that vision and then reading books too, you know, The Happy Pocket Full of Money, which is a really, really good book that helped set
me in the right
direction. Happy Pocket Full of Money.
Never heard of that. Who is that by?
It is, I used to have a spot. Right here.
I'm surprised that I never heard of that one.
Yeah, David Cameron.
Okay, I'll put that on my list.
Yes, it's excellent book. Happy Pocket Full of Money. Happy Pocket Full of Money. That helped me get my mindset right, and you know, the more you give, the more you get, kind of aspect and the thinking. And this business, it wouldn't be where it's at today if I didn't give so much, give free value, you know, and just give whatever I possibly could to somebody to help them. I think that's why I'm where I'm at today, is because. Not only did I help other people, but I would learn something and implement it right away. And that's my biggest key in my strategy, is you learn it and teach it. And so that's really what's helped scale me up. You know, as long as, you know, the wealth wall is one thing, and having those desires and the why, but actually just getting those goals done, whatever it may be, a step-by-step process.
So speaking about goals and implementing fast, you know, I think entrepreneurs, even myself, get shiny object syndrome and get distracted with different tools, automation, systems, methodologies, GOAT, you know, all these different things. How do you get your goals done and scale where you stay focused on, is it just one thing or?
Yeah, so typically the night, like when the day ends, I'll have five things that I typically wrote down the night before. And so it would be basic stuff like writing emails, follow up, because, you know, the money's in the list. You got to follow up for sure. And so market research, creating content. So there's five or six things, delegations that I do each day, not with my meetings that I have, but there's five things I do each day. And if I don't get those five things done that are mandatory, like in my business, then I just move them to the top of the list for the next day. And so just having a routine of getting up earlier, and then setting myself at least a 3-hour schedule on what I need to work in on my business each day. So I'm not spinning my wheels and chasing shiny objects. I have set myself a specific amount of time for each delegation. And if I don't get it done, then it just moves to the next day. And then I finish it that next day. So it's always a rotation of getting everything I need done in my business. So I'm not, you know, scrolling TikTok or, you know, randomly just on Facebook, you know, not doing anything that's going to be productive to my business.
Amazing. I think you hit on a lot of gold nuggets there. You know, Cal Newport talks about deep work, and there's other people who talk about focusing on one thing, and you have five, and the 3 hours scheduled with delegated time for each task is the deep work that is necessary for 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 figure entrepreneurs. Let's talk a little bit about sales. I mean, you did 1.5 million in, I think, 22 months. How do you go from being in prison, you know, five times, DUI six times, you know, about to lose your marriage, to selling 1.5 million in less than 2 years? How did you do that?
You know, it's a lot of, I guess you could say, doing what I'm told. So my first mentor, Brad, he's the one who set me straight on the GOAT method. He had passed away about a year and a half ago on fentanyl overdose. He was young. He was 26 years old, but either way, it's crazy. We all took a big old blow to that. Yeah. I didn't even know he had an addiction problem until it happened. Either way, it was just staying consistent on the little things, keeping it simple. And that's what really pushed me over the, you know, 10K per month, the 20K, 100K per month, was just keeping things simple and asking people if they needed help. It's always creating conversations. So it's content and conversations. Those were the two things that scaled my business, creating the content and then create 10 conversations a day. I wasn't looking at this as a side hustle, even from the beginning. I was looking at it as like, this is my business. This is what's going to, you know, save my life. And so I really had a really big thing on following up with everybody that came into my ecosystem. If they had a question in my content, I would reach out to them and ask them what inspired them to click on my content, or, you know, what was motivational out of that piece of content that inspired you to ask for more help. And so I would create these conversations, and a lot of the stuff wasn't even coming through the funnel. It was mostly me going live and then creating these conversations in Facebook groups and around the community, or, you know, other people's communities, and just answering questions, not necessarily asking for them to buy something or click my link, but just offer value and let them come back to me. And that's kind of like what really started it, but was also separating myself from everybody else in the industry and having a unique selling proposition. What separated me from somebody else that's promoting the same product, or thousands of people that are separating the same product. And that was my story. That was my unique differentiator, was being authentic, transparent, and having those conversations and being relatable. That's the biggest problem I see with people having and not having success is, number one, is the belief they have in themselves. And number two is becoming relatable. A lot of individuals will struggle with showing up as the person they do when they're in the front of their boss or 9 to 5. But what we teach our students is show up as your authentic self, the person that hangs around your friends and family, and that person that's outgoing and has a personality, right? Rather than being so robotic and copying other people, why not just do your own thing, be your authentic self? And that's what's going to attract your ideal customers. You're going to attract the right people and you're going to repel the wrong people. And that's all marketing is. Not everyone has to like you or buy from you. And that's the thing, is there's 7 billion people on this earth, and there's 5 billion active users on social media. Out of 5 billion people, I'm sure you could find 100, even 1,000, or even 10,000 people out of 5 billion that would resonate with you and your story. Now, being authentic is going to get you there a lot quicker than it would with just faking it till you make it.
So when you say you have 10 conversations a day, is it like a sales pitch, or is it like, I know you said obviously using building relationship and seeing how you can serve them. Is it like a, you know, no obligation sales pitch, let me see how I can serve you kind of thing? And people who are interested, a percentage of them, 10, 20, 30% say, I like to inquire more about what you do and how I can join what you're doing. How does that work?
Yeah. So when I started out as a beginner, and I didn't have too much experience, but what I did have was I had a secret weapon in my back pocket, and that was a community, my mentor, and the whole, or, you know, the hub, that was what I called it, right? I had my people I'd go back to. So I would literally go on to Facebook groups, and I would see somebody asking for help, or, you know, their thoughts on a specific topic, even though I thought I could answer it. Even if I didn't know how to answer it, I would copy that question, and I'd go back to my community and have my mentor or somebody that's, you know, of authority answer that question. Then I would go back to that Facebook group and then just give them the direct answer. Not ask for, hey, if you need more help, click on my link, or hey, go follow me, or nothing like that. But I started doing that in 5 or 6 Facebook groups that I was a part of that were people that weren't scamming. And I would just literally answer those questions. So I would learn it from my mentor, and I would go teach it or go offer that information. And I started doing that. After 2 weeks of doing that every day in these Facebook groups, people started coming to me asking for my help. So I started creating those conversations by just going into Facebook groups or seeing people on TikTok. And a viral video would come across my feed, and I'll go into those viral video comments, and I would see all these questions people are asking, all these pain points, all these desired outcomes. And I would make content on those pain points and desired outcomes, and then also answer their questions inside the comments of somebody else's post, because they weren't answering them. They were just telling them to go click on their stuff. So I would like, okay, here's your direct answer. Step by step, here's the process. And then I would just leave it at that. And then they would come back to me. Hey, I've been noticing you on Facebook or TikTok or in the Facebook group answering all these questions. Maybe you could help me out with something. Absolutely. Let's jump on a call. Right. Then I jump on the call with them, give them a free audit on their account or, you know, their funnel or something like that. And then I would basically lead them into the soft close of like, hey, if there's anything that I could do for you on a higher level, maybe there's something we could work out if you want to possibly work with me more one-on-one to get your hand held or whatever it was on how that process went. And 9 times out of 10, like, yeah, you know, I'll jump on your calendar again. Maybe let's just knock this out. So that's when I just started helping and answering questions. It became full circle. And now people chase me down. I don't chase people. So I just put out the content, answer questions, and then they'll come back through the follow-up, through that process of nurturing. They will come back to me at the end of the day.
Insane. So you're doing it the real way. I mean, like, I know that sounds like it's not done, and I don't think it's done in this way, generally speaking, because people are looking for shortcuts and a quick, you know, method or a tool that can automate the conversation and the relationship. You're truly getting to know people human to human, heart to heart, and offering your time, you know, which is your most valuable asset, and helping people daily. That's incredible. Let's see. I want to jump into the topic of discussion. I know there's so much we can dive into, but you know, one thing I know that you're really good at, and I know we had this conversation earlier, but for the rest of the people who don't know about this, is, you know, how you are able to generate six figures a month, you know, with a 5-day challenge. And I would say you're the 5-day challenge king. How to generate six figures per month without posting 24/7 or spammy DMs. So I know there's bits and pieces that you shared throughout this podcast. So what can people learn from 5-day challenges? Because other people that you may or may not know would be like, hey, I tried the 5-day challenge. I tried the 3-day challenge. And typically I hear people saying it's a pitch fest. They're just pitching from day one all the way through day 3 or 5, depending on how long the challenge is. And there's very little to no value. And then there's other people who are on the rare side that only provide value, and they're not able to make sale because they gave too much. So what do you have to say to that? How do you respond to that?
Yeah. So how I fill my challenges is basically from short form platforms like Instagram, TikTok, and that's where we go mine the gold. So we're in a big old, you know, a mine, and then it's nothing but ore around us and gold inside the ore. So what we do is we go and create a piece of content that's going to attract our ideal avatar or customer. Mm-hmm. And when they start engaging, that's when we bring them back into a community where we can actually nurture them. And so a lot of the times people will come in or ask me for help or information from my TikTok account. I will send them now a digital marketing secrets free course. And in that course, it's going to invite them to my Facebook group community where I go live on my monthly free trainings. But not only that, it's going to give them enough information and answer their questions during that process. So right when a person comes into my ecosystem, they click on my link or they buy the challenge or whatever it may be. Somebody on the team is calling them. They're sending them a message, just getting that initial touch point. And that's what a big problem with I see in the challenge space is that, well, they'll bring people in a challenge. The challenge isn't for another 20 days, and then they don't follow up with them. They don't nurture them. So the show up rate is going to be a lot less than, you know, it should be, because if you follow it up and connect with them initially, there'll be a lot bigger, better chance than them coming through. Now, the way I keep people in my challenge is day number one, is when I start building that belief and building that like and trust factor, letting them know, like, here's my past, here's what I've done, and then really building up that like and trust factor on relatability. And so when I build up that relatability and let them know, look, I'm just a normal person that has been through all these other trials and tribulations of life. I didn't have college, and here's my success, and here's what you could do about it as well. Here's how you could be successful. So they start feeling like if he could do it, I could do it for sure, because I graduated college. I work in tech right now, or whatever it is. So I build up this belief on day number one. Day number two is talking about your existing skill sets that you already have from like work. And we go through each career path, like, stay-at-home moms is a career, believe it or not, people. Being a stay-at-home mom is probably tougher than being a construction worker.
Oh yeah, but yeah, absolutely.
Mom, yeah, you have frontline workers, you have construction, you have all these different directions. And I asked the community or asked the people on the live, what are the skill sets that, you know, a construction worker has? What are the skill sets that frontline worker has? And at the end of that, they realize there's a lot of relatability and then congruency on what these skill sets are. So day one, we're talking about, hey, we're the same type of people. I come from the same kind of place as you. It's possible. So I build that belief. Day number two, now they have the understanding that they have everything they personally need right now to get started because of all of the skills they currently have. And then we start talking about all of the desired outcomes, or like what do they want from, you know, starting an online business, or what do they want from losing weight? You know, what is that why? And so basically through that process, I do a lot of education. But I only think there's like truly like 4 or 5 teachable moments that are like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that. You know, that's blew my mind in my challenge. So I'm teaching them on the why, and I'm selling them on the how. And so I let them know on day number one that I will have an offer at day number four for them. But I want them to realize that if you didn't buy a pad of paper and a pen, you're going to lose out on all kinds of information that you don't know about. Right. So I've been in 5-day challenges, 3-day challenges that were just nothing but a pitch fest. But the way we organized ours, we got a lot of our information from Kim Dang. And we got it from Kim. We got it from Doug Bachman. We learned these processes from individuals that have been running a lot of challenges that have success with those challenges. So it's all about nurturing the leads and putting them through a like almost boot camp to where each day they're going to have a homework assignment. So it's gamified. So now they're putting in more work than they've actually ever put in when they're starting to build their online business, especially for a beginner. So the whole goal is to have an established and set up business by day number 5 with automation, everything set up for them so they can hit the ground running. But that's kind of like how we fill the challenges is from a short form platform, content platforms, bring them in to nurture them through free value, emails, follow up, and all those different things. So I hope that answered your question. But at the end of the day, it's just bringing them from short form platforms.
Yeah, one thing that you mentioned to me offline was that, you know, during day 4 of 5-day challenges, typically 60% drop off, where on day 4 and 5, you have a 70% retention rate. And your key was, and you said yourself, sticky community. You know how to retain people and make a sticky community. I think that's what most people cannot do or have not been able to do. What is the key or one of the secrets of creating a sticky community and retaining 70% of people on day 5? That's the last day. Usually not many people are left standing at that point.
Yeah, not at all, typically. So the way that we create that sticky factor is as many touch points as we possibly can. So like right when they come into our ecosystem, that onboarding process is super important. So we onboard that person initially, like as soon as possible, we onboard them, we let them know who's on the staff, what it's going to look like for the next 5 days of the challenge, you know, where they can find their resources, just so they feel like they're at home, right? That onboarding part is probably the most important part of keeping somebody inside your community is the proper onboarding. Hmm. And then from the onboarding, then it's touch points, you know, follow up. Emails, hey, we're going live, you know, all these different things. It helps also to keep that sticky factors. We have a $5,000 scholarship giveaway. So whoever the biggest action taker is inside of the challenge. Now that means like commenting on people's posts, doing the homework, they get a certain amount of points. By the time we get to the day number 5, typically there's like 4 or 5, maybe 10 or 20, however many first place contendees. And what I do is I basically tell them, if you stick around till day 5, there's a $5,000 scholarship. So now I'm providing all this bonus to them so they're wanting to stick around till day 5, get all their homework done. And in that process, they build up this belief like, man, I've done more than the last 4 days than I have in the last 6 months trying to build this thing out. I got almost a complete business. So now that value is built and we're following up with them, you know, they're handing their homework. We're giving them, you know, we're giving them shout outs. We have monthly award ceremonies inside of Passive Income Blueprint. So anybody that's part of our community will have a month. Every month we go in and we award them for their first 1,000 followers. We award them for their first sale. We award them for their first 5K, 10K, all these different things. We award them for helping somebody else in the community, maybe going on a live or on a Zoom call just to, you know, help that person out. So we give these awards and it creates that community family feel, and they start feeling that from day one. Even before they get into the challenge, they're already touching bases with a real person, not automation, nothing like that.
Holy smokes. Wow. Okay. So you just blew my mind away with this whole creating that community family feel in ways that I've not seen, heard. You know, I was a pastor for 10 years. So I've created a community with over 10 churches as an evangelist, help build relationships. In the online space, I've not ever heard anyone build community like this. This is incredible. The way that you incentivize the behavior that you're desiring to see is getting the rewards and the results for you and your clients. That is complete genius. Where did you learn that from?
A little bit of Russell Brunson, a little bit of Kim, a little bit of Doug, a little bit of our own research. And during the process of the 5-day challenge, they do 2 different surveys. The first survey is, why did you join the challenge? What are you stuck with? What are your problems, your pain points, all those different things. We take that data and then we use that for our marketing material. Then we get the second survey is, what did you think of the challenge? And if there's anything that you change or add to it or take away. So it's constantly keeping them engaged. It's letting them put their two cents on things, like right when they feel like they're a part of something, because now they're getting asked by the owner of the company, you know, what do you think? Is there anything that you would fix or change? Or what do you want to learn on the next challenge? And then they're starting to feel they're a part of something. They feel like they have a voice. And that initially really helps with the process of keeping them till day five, and also that $5,000 scholarship. Now, what keeps them active is we have something called the naughty list. And basically, the people that are not taking action after they purchase my program, we put them on a naughty list if they haven't been active for a week or 2 weeks. And we can look in our CRM and see where everybody's at. In each module or each phase, they have to submit homework to us. Like, okay, here's my funnel. I built it. Now we have to check it. We have to make sure that the affiliate link is correct, so it's not somebody else's affiliate link. We want to make sure it's, you know, it's the autoresponder is engaging. We have to make sure all these different things. So there's just a lot of touch points with what we have with our community to get a lot of enjoyment. So if you haven't been taking action, then on our award ceremony during that, I put all these people on the naughty list, and nobody wants to be on the naughty list. I promise you, nobody wants to take that status from them, right? Of like not being an action taker. So we hold them accountable in that way too. And people are just scrambling to get off the naughty list and reaching out to staff. What do I need to do? What did I miss? You know, I've been acting or whatever. So it just helps them take action.
That just goes to remind us that, you know, even though we're grown up and we're adults, we're just big kids, right? That's it. And, you know, you're a man of faith, and, you know, getting baptized in the county jail with a cup of water, and me being a former pastor, you know, faith is a big thing. And, you know, I think of the kingdom of God, which is the reign and rule of Christ, to be, you know, God is not just the ruler and judge, but he's a God of mercy and a father. And his kids get to be in the kingdom playground where he wants to see. Just like you're a dad and I'm a dad, like I want to see my kids play. And one of the five words that I've seen to be the most powerful is, I love watching you play. I love watching you play. And I really believe that God has that plan for everyone, because he wants to see everyone thrive, not survive. He wants to see everyone, you know, in fruition and, you know, just thriving with life and with purpose and that why. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to be on that naughty list, right? Because as kids, we want to stay off that list. And some of us want to be in that because we rebel. How has faith played a role, you know, from the county jail getting baptized with a cup of water to where you are in your success today?
Yeah. As soon as I figured out that, like, I could not do it alone, because everything in my life, I could, you know, I do myself, like, my whole life. And then as soon as I realized I couldn't do it alone, it was sitting in that county jail and I just needed help. I needed guidance. I was lost. I was confused. You know, I felt all these different crazy emotions. And so I think by just having faith in somebody that's greater than myself and be able to, you know, forgive, that was a big thing too. That's the other thing that set my mindset straight. Cause I had a lot of hatred and a lot of discontent for my mom and some other individuals, for reasons like when I went to prison, every time pretty much, I have a storage unit, my mom would either go steal my credit, ruin my credit.
Whoa.
So before I went to prison, I had like an 800 credit score right around there. When I got out, it was like a 350 or a 400 right around there. And so this happened more than once. So I had all this built up animosity in my heart. And I think as soon as I was able to forgive and just let go and then ask, you know, a higher power or whatever to take over, I think that helped me a lot too in my growth. Was I didn't have these reservations of hate or, you know, not forgiving somebody. I think that kept me stuck for many, many years, was having that hate in my heart and not being able to forgive people because I wasn't able to move on. And I think once I gave that forgiveness, it helped me move on and become the better version of myself.
How does that happen? Is that identity theft or someone using your credit cards? How the heck does someone take your credit score of 800 and bring it down to 300?
By getting my credit, getting cell phones, getting credit cards. My mom, she had my social security number. She knew my birthday. And she would apply for all these things online. And that's what dropped all my stuff. And it happened more than once. And I'm the only member in the family that has not like prosecuted her. She got my sister. She got my uncle. She got my cousin. She got my dad. And so that was her thing, was she's very narcissistic, I guess you could say. She didn't really care about anybody's feelings. But at the end of the day, it just made me a stronger person is what it
did. Wow. I can't believe your own birth mom. Is it because of her own addictions or her own issues?
Yeah, she had those issues. Even when she was a kid, she was always stealing from what I heard from her parents, you know, credit cards, money, all these different things.
Wow.
And so it just kind of just bled, you know, strung along. She got my sister for a motorhome and a car and all kinds of crazy stuff. just trying to help her out. But at the end of the day, yeah, I had to forgive her.
Is there a redemptive story, or is that still in works with your relationship with your mom?
I haven't talked to her. I told her I forgive her about 10 years ago, or maybe yeah. maybe a little less than that. Well, maybe less than that now, because I forgave her once already, and then she did it again. So I think I maybe messaged her maybe 5 years ago, and I just told her that I was done with her. And so I haven't talked to her since.
I'm sorry to hear that.
That's all right.
Wow. Last but not least, IG and TikTok. So these are two areas that I am not doing well in. How do you crack the code in IG and TikTok, which, you know, in their own respect and rights, they're different platforms and different beasts. I heard that TikTok is the unfair competitive advantage when you crack the code. What are some practical, suggestions or strategies how you were able to crack the code on the organic with the IG and TikTok?
Yeah, so it goes in waves. Like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, TikTok was like a gladiator, like a Thunderdome, right? You post something, it'd go crazy viral.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's changed a lot. But what I've noticed is it goes in waves, and some people will be more adaptive or more open to watch longer form content, like, you know, 3 minute video on TikTok. But now it's come to the point to where it's really seven seconds, 8 second videos with a pain point and a desired outcome for your hook. And then also the call to action would be the vehicle to solve their problem, right? So what I mean by that is when somebody says, worked 40 hours this week, took one day off, and my check was $300 less, but when I work an extra day, I only get $15 extra on my paycheck, right? So there was like a lot of pain points in there people can relate with. And then if I have that call to action, is like, here's your next steps to get XYZ, whatever that may be. So TikTok has become more of an SEO-based platform, and it uses a lot of keywords. So a lot of keywords that people search for is like how to make money or how to build a sales funnel. So if you've done a video on how to build a sales funnel or the three portions or three parts of a sales funnel, right? Opt-in, bridge, and then sales page, as an example, that would be more targeted to people that are actively searching for how to build a sales funnel or automation. And that's how we're getting traction now. So, or for the most part on the social media platforms that are short form. Now it's different, but it's really targeting that pain point and then desired outcome is the two things that you really want to focus on and being relatable. So like those mundane things that happen during the day, the more almost mundane you could be, like, you know, sitting in traffic, spilled coffee over my lap, absolutely ruined my day. But then I got a notification on my phone. I got $1,000 commission, right? My day was fixed, right? Because of my side hustle or my online business, it didn't ruin my day. It actually made my day to go strive harder, to work harder at work. So if you want more information on how to, you know, make $1,000 commissions, go ahead and comment below. So it's just really becoming relatable and building that trust and like factor on these social media platforms. It doesn't matter what you promote, what your niche is. If you learn, understand the process and the strategy on how to create words that sell or that have emotional triggers to them, right? It's a lot easier to create the content and get the traction.
How many times per week do you recommend posting, and what kind of software, if you just do everything native inside of TikTok, do you recommend?
Yeah. So if you're brand new, just starting this, or you just started an account, start your TikTok account. Don't post any content for at least 2 weeks. Let the account get seasoned, so it doesn't. Mm-hmm. So TikTok doesn't think you're just jumping on there and all of a sudden spamming links, right? It's gonna stop your videos from getting pushed out. You'll almost be like, I can't remember what they call it shadow banned, right? So start a TikTok, let it nurture or let it season itself for about 2 weeks. You know, optimize it for business purposes, put your profile picture in there, but just leave the content out of it. After 2 weeks happen, then I would really focus on, you know, 3 to 5 videos a day just to find out and find your lane. It doesn't have to be like that forever, but you got to figure if you put out one piece of content a day, you're competing with the algorithm and competing with people that just jumped on that are putting out 3 to 5 videos. So the faster we can train the algorithm on what who to show our videos to, the better, right? So if you put out 3 to 5 videos a day, as an example, if you do three, do maybe one duet, one stitch with like Gary V, and then do this, do a duet with Gary V, do a stitch with Alex Hormozi, and then create one piece of organic content of yourself. So you're teaching the algorithm, here's who I want to talk to. Here's the type of content that I'm going to be creating. And here's who I want to engage on my content. So it doesn't have to be like that forever. As an example, Be Financially Free, John, I think I talked to you about him in our conversation earlier.
Yeah.
I had him start out, he was doing 3 to 5 videos. Now he does one time a week. And his videos average 5,000 views or more, all the way up to 400K, 500K, because he's already seasoned that, that the algorithm. And what he does is, if you go to TikTok and you search lose weight, as an example, in the search bar, and then also on the right-hand side, what people also search for. So how to lose weight, losing weight hack. Mm. So what I want you to do is, if you're hooked to your video, is lose weight while eating bacon and hamburgers, as an example, right? So people like, I love my bacon, I love my hamburgers, I don't want to give that up, and I can still lose weight. I'm gonna watch this video. So if you put in lose weight on the search inside of TikTok, it's gonna populate what other people have been searching for. Take all those other key phrases and then add them on the video itself, and then say those key phrases in your video. So it's helping the algorithm place your video for SEO. So the algorithm's gonna pick up on what you say, what's on the screen. So get everything that a person is also searching for, put that on the screen and make it as small as possible and move it off to the side of the screen so you can't see it. And then in your video, talk about losing more weight, losing weight hacks, whatever it is that other people have been searching for. And then in your description area, that's where you can put a lot of SEO key phrases and keywords, is in your description. Like, hey, you've been, you know, struggling to lose weight, and all you want to do is eat hamburgers, hot dogs, and bacon and still be able to lose it. Here's a step-by-step strategy. Step number one, step number two, step number three, if you still need help, and then have a call to action to maybe comment or, you know, click on your link or whatever is in your bio. So now that the algorithm is hearing what you're saying is coming out of their mouth, there's text on the screen of what the keywords are, and it's also what people have been searching for. So it's going to be a word that's a top, or it's going to be a word that comes up in topic a lot more so. So 3 to 5 videos a day, try to search for keywords in your niche, keep it really, really direct and straight to the point, and then also say those keywords in your content that people would also think about or say in regards to that niche of product.
And do you record those natively, or do you use like CapCut or some sort of video?
So the way I've been doing it is, if I do a video that is like a step-by-step process, I typically record it natively on the TikTok app. Now, if it's video content that I took, like this over the last weekend, I went to the dunes, I went dirt bike riding and stuff. So now I have content from that. That's when I'll throw it in the CapCut and then shorten it up and edit it and then paste it back onto TikTok.
Amazing. Well, I know we've run out of time, and the amount of value that you given in a very, very short time, from prison to profit, from, you know, 5 prison sentences to 6 DUIs, and, you know, getting, you know, your mentors from Kim, Doug, Russell. I know there's another JT, I can't remember, JT Fox. Some dude, JT Fox, and then your first mentor, Brad, and probably your wife and your family, right? That has been able to support you from the legendary marketer days, the days when you were spending time, you know, failing and falling on your face. What is a last remark that you would give to the struggling entrepreneur that's thinking of giving up today?
If you're just think about where you were at before, and worry, you know, why you want to do this. I guess if it's losing weight, if it's making more money, just find that why. And if it's like lose more weight, well, dig a little deeper. Why do you want to lose more weight? So I can have a longer life with my children and I don't die of obesity or something like that, right? And well, why? And then just keep getting why. So have that why really strong, and know it's going to not be easy, and that we need to take step-by-step process and stay consistent, right? So at the end of the day, just stay consistent, be a student, teach it or learn it and teach it is what I really got to say. So if you get into a course, a paid course, don't go through the full course, get to the last module and then decide to implement then. Implement on module number one, video number one. Learn it. If something is a light bulb or an epiphany moment went out, go and reteach that or go make a piece of content on that in TikTok or Facebook or whatever. But learn it, teach it, stay consistent, and keep an open mind.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time today. And you are definitely the GOAT, how you went from an overworked blue-collar kid to building a highly profitable online business. If any of you guys are looking at getting a 5-day business builder challenge, there's a free gift, and thank you for staying till the end. And the link will be in the comments as well as in the show notes. It's www.5daybusinessbuilderchallenge.com. And this is how you can go to six figures a month in passive income without posting 24/7 and spamming. And you don't have to be a sales or marketing expert. So thank you again so much for your time today. That was a definite treat. And for everyone watching, thank you guys for tuning in and listening to Eric Forner's, passion project from prison to profit. These questions on the Sales Ninja Show aim to delve into the depths of the entrepreneurial journey, providing insights, strategies, and advice that resonate with the diverse audience here that is watching in the Sales Ninja Show podcast. And our why, as Eric was sharing, is that you can sell more so that you can give more. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next show.
Thank you so much. Five, six.